You may be seated. The bread of life, the light of the world, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life, the true vine, the door of the sheep, and the good shepherd. These seven titles belong to the seven I am statements that Jesus made in the Gospel of John. And with each of these seven I am statements, Jesus was not simply trying to help us understand what he is like. But with every I am statement, Jesus was proclaiming a fulfillment of the Old Testament promises of the coming Messiah. He was declaring that he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. And throughout our study of the Gospel of John, we've seen that everything that Jesus said and did was intricately woven into a much larger gospel story that John is telling. And he's telling it for one very important reason: that everyone who hears the story of the gospel will believe and have salvation in the name of Jesus. And I think this is important as we come to our passage this morning and we see two of the seven I am statements of Jesus in just one passage. In just a few verses, Jesus will say both, "I am the door of the sheep," and "I am the good shepherd." And I think with these words, there's something that Jesus wants us to see. Not only does he want us to see who he is as our good shepherd, our Savior, our Messiah, I think he's wanting us to understand who we are as sheep. And we see this with this amazing story that Jesus tells. We're going to see this in three ways. The first is this: Jesus wants us to see that our shepherd knows us by name. I want you to turn to the Gospel of John chapter 10. You'll find it there in your bulletin, or you can take the blue pew Bible out in front of you. If you don't have a Bible at home, that's our gift to you. These are the words of Jesus. John 10 verse 1, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." Now, also throughout the Gospel of John, we've seen that everything matters in its context, that it's in its place throughout the gospel story. Everything that Jesus says is connected to what he said before, and everything that he says is connected to what he says after. That's especially true for our passage today. Back in John chapter 9, we saw Jesus restore sight to a man who was blind from birth. He did this on the Sabbath. And so the Pharisees saw this, and they heard all that Jesus said to the blind man. And we saw also last week that when Jesus performed this miracle for the blind man, it wasn't just one miracle, but two. First, he gave sight to this blind man, but then he gave him the miracle of faith. The Pharisees, overhearing all of this, they come to Jesus, and they ask him an important question. It's a question that all of us should ask. If we're going to be honest before Jesus, the question is this: am I also blind? Am I also blind? And this is how Jesus responds. This is the end of John chapter 9. Jesus tells the Pharisees, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." What was Jesus telling them? Well, his point was this: the Pharisees' problem was not that they couldn't see, it's that they thought that they could. And this is the warning for all of us, that it's possible to think that we can see and even have ears to hear, and yet we can hear nothing that Jesus is saying, and we see nothing of who he really is. And though our Bibles put a chapter break between what Jesus just told the Pharisees about their sight and now what he is going to describe as a sheep and sheepfold and a shepherd, There is no break in Jesus's dialogue, no pause. In other words, every single thing that Jesus is saying in John chapter 10, he is saying to the Pharisees. And John has recorded it in order that Jesus might say it to us as well. And I think that changes the way that we hear Jesus' words. And so with that in mind, knowing that Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, I want you to listen again to John chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus, to the Pharisees, says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold, by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." Okay, so knowing he's talking to the Pharisees, let me ask you a question. Who do you think the thief is? Who's the robber? Now, Jesus will use similar language later. John 10, verse 10. Look with me. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Now, this verse is often quoted in reference to Satan. If you've heard this verse before, maybe you've thought about it that way yourself. I'm sure I've even probably taught it that way myself. But I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about. Though what's going on here might be satanic, I think it's clear that addressing the Pharisees, the thief, is the Pharisees themselves. They are like thieves and robbers. They've weaseled their way into the flock, and they're leading them astray. You see, this is what the Pharisees were doing. With the way that they had added to God's law, the way that they had put their own traditions up next to God's own word, the way that they had separated the law of God from the person of God, the way that they had trusted in their own righteousness, the way that they elevated pride and completely diminished humility, and the way that they had rejected Jesus. They were like thieves and robbers. It wasn't just that the Pharisees had rejected Jesus themselves. No, it's that the Pharisees were leading other people to reject Jesus too. That makes them thieves, it makes them robbers, and it makes them really bad shepherds. And you may be familiar that the Bible has a lot to say about shepherds. But you might not know that the Bible also has a lot to say about bad shepherds. And I think everything that Jesus is saying here in John chapter 10, he is alluding to the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 34. If you have a Bible, you might turn to Ezekiel 34. Or you can just listen. Throughout the Old Testament, the prophets lamented the bad shepherds of Israel, that the people of God had bad leaders who were leading them astray. This is what Ezekiel says, Ezekiel 34, verse 2. He says, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who've been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you've not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you've not bound up, the strayed you've not brought back, the lost you have not sought, with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts." The people of God had bad shepherds, and these shepherds had led them astray. And this is what Jesus has in mind as he's addressing the Pharisees and calling them thieves and robbers. And so this morning, as we elect officers to serve our church, I think this says a lot about those whom we call to shepherd us. We're called to elect men who will shepherd us selflessly, who will lay down their very own lives for the sheep. The officers of Christ's church are not a board of directors. This is not a club or a service organization or a corporation. This is the church of Jesus Christ. Deacons are called to serve. Elders are called to shepherd. They're called to lay down their life for the sheep. But I also think it has something to say about us as sheep. You may have noticed at the end of Ezekiel's rebuke of these bad shepherds that when sheep don't have a shepherd, they scatter. And they begin to wander and they go astray. This is what it was like for the people of Israel. I think it's what it was like when Jesus was doing his ministry in John chapter 10. And I think you could say the same thing for us today as well. When we don't have a shepherd, when we turn our back on him, when we seek pasture in other fields other than the one that he has set before us, we wander, we go astray, and we scatter. And so it's in the midst of all of this that Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. There is only one perfect shepherd. A shepherd who willingly laid down his life for the sheep. And Jesus begins to describe this shepherd in verse 2. Jesus goes on, he says, but he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I want you to notice the kind of relationship that the shepherd has with his sheep. Not only the sheep know who the shepherd is, they know his voice. But notice, the shepherd also knows his sheep. And he knows them so intimately that he knows them by name. Now, I don't know how many of you raise sheep. I don't. So if you're like me, a lot of this might be lost on you. But I have a really good friend who raises sheep. Later in his life, he decided it would be fun to buy some land. And now he raises sheep and goats and chickens. And a couple springs ago, my family had the opportunity to go and visit him on his farm during lambing season. If you don't know what that is, it's when all the sheep are having babies. My daughters got to hold baby lambs who were born just 2 hours before. What was amazing is we went out into the pasture in order to feed the sheep. As he began to speak, all the sheep came running. They knew their shepherd's voice. But even more amazing is though every single one of those sheep looked the exact same to me, he could tell them apart. He knew them by name. So it is with us and our Savior God. Do you understand, can you even comprehend that the God of the universe, who spoke all things into existence, who declared, let there be light, speaks your name. He knows you by name. For him to be your shepherd means that you are his sheep and that you belong to him. Not only does our shepherd know us by name, but we see in Jesus' words here that our shepherd leads us to life. That's the second thing we see. Look with me, John 10, verse 6. The figure of speech that Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Now, this is John, the narrator, the gospel writer, interjecting once again. He's helping us understand what's going on behind the scenes. that as Jesus is speaking, the Pharisees have no clue what he's talking about. And the word here that he uses for figure of speech is associated with the word parable. That's a word that does not appear in the Gospel of John, but it appears in all three other Gospels. And we see in the other Gospels that Jesus often taught in parables. Now, a parable is simply a story with a whole lot of imagery to help us see, not only just hear, but see what Jesus is saying. Gospel of Matthew, Jesus told his disciples why he spoke in parables. I want you to listen. I want you to ask yourself, does this sound like anybody that we've met already in John chapter 10? Matthew 13, Jesus said, "This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand." This was exactly the Pharisees' problem. Though they had eyes, they could not see. Though they had ears, and they could hear every word that Jesus was saying, they did not understand. And this should be a warning for all of us that it is possible to see Jesus. And for us, in our day and time, it's possible to hear the words of Jesus and think that we see him and think that we hear him and yet still not understand him. And so after every single one of Jesus' parables, he would often say, "Let he who has ears, let him hear." That's an invitation for us as Jesus gives us this parable about shepherds and sheep. Let all of us who have ears, let us hear. And so Jesus continues. Verse 7, Jesus again says to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." The first of two I am statements in this parable. I am the door of the sheep. He continues with the same imagery that he began with in verse 1. There are sheep. There's a sheepfold. There are thieves and robbers, and there is a shepherd. Now, in those days, shepherds would lead their sheep out into the fields to graze, to eat, out into the pasture. And then at night, in order to rest and to find protection, they would then lead them into a sheepfold. Now, a sheepfold was simply a rounded out fence. Sometimes it was made of wood, oftentimes made of stacked stone. And then there would be a door, and there would be a gate. And at night, the shepherd would lead his sheep into the sheepfold and close the door so they could rest and find protection through the night, only to be led out the next morning to go out into the pasture and graze again. Now, oftentimes, there would be multiple flocks and multiple shepherds in one field, but there would be only one sheepfold. And so shepherds would lead their flocks into the one sheepfold, and you would have maybe as many as three flocks in one sheepfold and multiple shepherds. And so you could imagine what it must have been like the next morning as the door of the gate opens and they're supposed to go graze. Can you imagine the chaos, the confusion? Well, which sheep belongs to which flock? But you see, it didn't happen that way. Because every sheep knew the voice of their shepherd. And as their shepherd called out to them, the sheep would follow. And they would go through the door, out to pasture, in order to eat. This is what Jesus has in mind as he's telling this parable to the Pharisees. Verse 8, he says, "All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." They didn't listen because they knew the voice of their shepherd. Verse 9, he goes on, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture." Notice in Jesus' parable, not only is he the shepherd, but he's also the door. He is the door of the sheep. And I think that means at least two things for us. By being the door, not only is he the way to life, the way to pasture, the way to provision, but he's also our protector, the one who watches over us. And as we've seen throughout the I Am statements, every one of these is pointing back to the Old Testament promises of the coming Messiah. And so here in verse 9, as Jesus says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture." You can almost hear the words of David in Psalm 23. These are the words for our profession of faith this morning. Psalm 23 begins like this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." These are some of the most well-known words of the entire Bible. Why? Well, because I think Psalm 23 describes our life honestly. That it's often like wandering through a dark valley when we are afraid and experiencing doubt and confusion, longing for the light and joy that awaits the other side. But I also think it's noteworthy to us and has gained popularity because of all the words that David could have used and did use to describe God. He chose the word shepherd. And I think that word stands out to us because if we're honest, we know what it means without thinking very hard. We know what it means to be sheep. What it's like to be confused. What it's like to lose our way. What it's like to become disoriented. What it's like to become so hungry that rather than listen to our voice of our shepherd, we'd be willing to go after the voice of a thief or a robber. Willing to leave the flock in order to go our own way to find life. And you see, I think that's what Jesus has in mind here when he says, "I am the door." Psalm 23 begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It literally means, "I lack nothing. I lack nothing." I wonder how many of us could honestly say that this morning. I lack nothing. And notice David says these words not because he's taken inventory of his life and saying, "I've got everything." But no, it's in direct relationship to who his shepherd is. He lacks nothing because the Lord is his shepherd. How often do you and I, thinking that we lack everything, strive to fill our own bellies with the things of this world? And we go off into fields on our own looking for green pastures and find nothing but barren land. Jesus says, "I am the door, the only door, the only way to abundant life. The kind of life that satisfies a weary and hungry soul." So I ask you this morning, who is really shepherding you? What pastures are you grazing in? Jesus says, "I'm the door." And he is the only way to life, the only way to have it abundantly. But by being the door, not only is our life and our provision, he's also our protection. You see, not only would they go out the door to pasture, but at night, the shepherd would lead the sheep through the door to be safe in the sheepfold. For Jesus to be the door means he was our protector. He watches over us. The shepherd would keep watch at night by the gate, the most vulnerable part of the sheepfold, making sure that no one would enter, no thief, no robber, and no wolves. Again, I think Psalm 23 is helpful. As David continues in Psalm 23, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." These are the tools of a shepherd, a rod and a staff. The tools of a shepherd who's keeping watch at night over his flock. The kind of shepherd who will never leave us and never forsake us. And that's the third thing I think Jesus wants us to see. that our shepherd laid down his life for us. Look with me, verse 11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It's the second of two I am statements in this parable. And with it, I think Jesus is making it clear who the shepherd is. It's him. He alone is the good shepherd. But what I think we need to understand is that by saying that he is the good shepherd, he's not simply saying he's the good shepherd in this parable. No, Jesus is saying he is the good shepherd of the entire Bible. Every promise, every prophecy, every psalm, every single thing in the God's word that is pointed to the coming shepherd, the one who would come to rescue the sheep, Jesus is saying, I am that shepherd. I'm the one whom God has sent for the sheep. So just as Ezekiel called out the bad shepherds of Israel, he also promised that there would be another shepherd to come. I want you to listen again. This is Ezekiel 34, verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself search for my sheep. I'll seek them out. And as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he's among his sheep that have scattered, so I will seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they've been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. When Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, Jesus was saying, I am the good shepherd who's come to rescue you. He was saying that he is the good shepherd who's come to feed us with good food, to lead us to abundant life. When Jesus said he is the good shepherd, he was saying he's the good shepherd who has come to shepherd his people and to lay down his life for the sheep. And so in verse 12, Jesus compares a good shepherd to a hired hand. And he observes that a hired hand, where the sheep don't actually belong to him, the moment danger comes, as that hired hand is keeping watch over the flock at night and sees a wolf, that hired hand says, they're not paying me enough for this, and they flee. And Jesus says, the good shepherd is not like that. Jesus, our good shepherd, is no hired hand. And the difference between a hired hand and a good shepherd is one thing: love. Jesus is no hired hand because he loves us as his own. He knows us by name. And out of love, he lays down his life for the sheep. And so on the night he was betrayed, Jesus, our good shepherd, saw the wolves coming, but he didn't run away. No, willingly, even out of his own authority, he let the wolves come to him. And he was arrested. He was beaten. And he was hung on a cross. And there, as he gasped for breath, our good shepherd became a lamb in our place. And he sacrificed himself for us. And by his own authority, he raised it up again on the third day, all so that we might be led to greener pastures. Jesus is the good shepherd. Do you hear his voice? He's calling us by name. Let's pray. Father in heaven, may we hear the voice of our good shepherd this morning. We do pray, Holy Spirit, that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear. And may we follow the voice of our shepherd through the door and find abundant life in him alone. We ask In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, let's sing together.